When singer-songwriter Laura Story's husband, Martin, experienced a traumatic brain tumor more than a decade ago, things got very challenging on a practical level.
And it's been a challenge also with our faith, is trying to understand how a God who loves us and has a good plan for our lives, why he would allow such hardship and why he wouldn't answer our prayers necessarily the way, you know, we've been praying for complete healing for Martin for 13 years now and have not seen that yet. We still believe God's capable of it, but we're learning what it looks like to trust his timing, to trust his plan above our own. And just because he's not working the way that we think that he should, it doesn't mean that he's not at work in ways that are best for us and that bring him the most glory.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. We'll hear from Laura Story today about how she learned that sometimes blessings come from raindrops. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. I really think what we have for our listeners today is kind of an early Christmas present.
Oh, you're right.
I so love Laura Story. And when she was here and we had a chance with the staff to interview her and to hear her sing, was a sweet time.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing she can sing like that after pulling up in a van with all her little kids.
It was
like
early,
hanging off her arms.
Early in the morning.
8:30 or 9 o'clock in the morning, and we got the whole staff together. And for those who don't know, Laura is a singer-songwriter from Nashville. She wrote the song Indescribable, wrote the song Blessings, What If Your Blessings Came From Raindrops. She'd just written a book called I Give Up, all about surrender when she came here. And so we're going to hear that conversation with Laura, which was recorded with our staff here in just a minute. But before we do, we're hoping maybe some of our listeners might have an early Christmas present for us, because we're a week and a half from the end of the year, and we just had some friends of the ministry who came along and said, we know you guys have a matching gift in place, and we'd like to add to that matching gift amount to really encourage Family Life Today listeners to get on board and support the ministry. So our matching gift has moved from $2 million now to $2.7 million.
Which is an amazing gift.
That's incredible.
And we're just hoping between here and the end of the year, we can take advantage of that. And for that to happen, we're asking Family Life Today listeners to maybe be generous here on the few days before Christmas and go online or call us and make as generous a donation as you can.
And you know what, Bob? I wouldn't say maybe. I would say we need you. Mm-hmm. You know, a Christmas present often is like, oh, I may need this gift, I may not. When you think about our ministry at the end of the year, I don't think people understand, especially this year of all years, 2020, we can't continue to do what we do. We can't be a blessing to people without you partnering with us financially. So I'm looking through the radio waves or through the podcast and saying, join us, man. Yeah. We need you. We love you. Hopefully you love us. And that means you're not just going to pray for us. You're going to say, wow, you mean somebody's going to double my gift? Yeah, they are. So join us and let's make a difference this year.
And I think this is a gift that keeps on giving. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I'm so amazed and impressed with our listeners, with this ministry, that I'm always sharing it with people. Mm. And so it really is a way we can impact our kids and our grandkids and our friends. This is something that matters.
And one last thing, remember this, there's some people that can't give this year because of COVID.
Yeah.
They might have lost a job. And so if God has blessed you, please bless in their behalf in a way that maybe is more than you ever thought you would give.
We just last week got a very sweet, kind thank you note from a mom who said, Family Life Today is a lifeline for me, for my marriage, for what I'm trying to do in raising my kids. She is plugging in every day so that she can get the help and hope she needs as she tries to raise her children according to the scriptures and keep her marriage focused on him as well. So you guys make that possible for her and for so many others when you make a donation. And if you can make a donation today, we'd like to say thank you by sending you two gifts, a copy of my book, Love Like You Mean It, and we'll send you a flash drive that has more than 100 of the best Family Life Today programs from the last 28 years, kind of the best of the best. Both of those are our way of saying thank you for standing with us here at year end. You can donate online at familylifetoday.com, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make a year-end donation, and we look forward to hearing from you. And now it's our turn to give you a Christmas gift. So here is the conversation that we had not long ago with singer-songwriter Laura Story.
You wrote a song.
What was it? 2000 and...
I was back when I was in college, and so it was 2000-something. And, yeah, Chris found my song Indescribable and recorded it, and it was his first radio single.
So we got a keyboard. Would you play and lead us in Indescribable?
Sure.
Okay, let's do that.
Highest of heights to the depths of the sea. Creation's revealing your majesty. From the colors of fall to the fragrance of spring. Every creature.
So, Laura, I have sung that song so many times, and you wrote that when you're 20, what?
Probably 22, 23, I think.
And how does a 22, 23-year-old come up with that? What happened? Tell us the experience.
Well, as a songwriter, one of the myths about songwriters is that we write about truths that we've mastered and now we'd like to impart them to the general public, and that's just not it at all. It's... I feel like for me, any song I've written, it's truths that God's beginning to teach me that he knows it's going to take me singing it over and over and over again for it to finally sink in. And Indescribable, I wrote, I really was just driving down the interstate near Asheville, North Carolina one day, and just beautiful sunset, and it was just this gorgeous landscape I was looking at, and I was reminded of you know, in the Psalms where David says, the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and just was really awestruck by the beauty. And I, at the time, my car stereo, it was broken, and I was, you know, this broke college kid, so I didn't have any money to fix it. So I had been quite often, you know, if I wanted to hear music, it was going to be my own voice in my car. And I remember just going to sing because my heart was so full, and at first nothing came out, and there were no words to describe the beauty I was experiencing right there. And it was this just reminder to me of the fact that he truly is indescribable. He's an indescribable God.
You eventually got to Job 38 as you were writing yes. the song, and looked at God's interaction with Job, where he says, wait a sec, who do you think you are? And describes his own attributes, and kind of has Job put his hand over his mouth and say, I knew you before, but now I really
yeah.
know you.
Yeah. And really, the point of the song is the greatness of God and just mm-hmm. the grandeur of who he is. But at the very end, it's this kind of wondering on the fact that he sees the depths of our hearts and he loves us. Yeah. This God of the universe who created everything, that he still desires to have an intimate relationship with me and you, and knowing who we are, knowing our imperfections, and sent Jesus so that he could have a relationship with us.
Did you think, I think I just wrote a hit song?
No. I've never, ever thought that in my life.
I mean, all these years I've given Tomlin credit.
Yeah.
And
you thought he wrote it?
Yeah,
thought he wrote
we did.
It.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard him sing it. I've seen him in concert, and... You wrote it.
So, and I just, this is kind of crazy, but so did the words come out with the same tune? Or did the words come first, or did you say you started singing?
She is asking this, by the way, because I write all these songs, and they're terrible, and she wants to know how it's done, right?
I don't believe that.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Well, honestly, it all just kind of came out together. The problem was is there were so many five-syllable words. I actually had to narrow it down, like, you know, ineffable, inconceivable. Like, you know, I remember thinking, no, those aren't very good.
If you'd have put inconceivable, everybody would have
yes.
inconceivable.
I know.
Just kind of
I know. No one would have taken it seriously.
As I've talked to people about you and known you.
Oh, no.
I've just found myself telling people, Laura Story is one of those people who has faced an unusual amount of adversity in her life and reflects joy every time I see her. And I just want to know how you do that.
Well, Bob, thank you. Man, that's overwhelming. And we've known each other for
a while.
Quite a while
yeah.
now. And the adversity that Bob refers to. So I've been married to my husband, Martin, for 15 years now. And within the first 2 years of our marriage, Martin was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And that was, you know, something you don't experience, especially early on in your marriage. And what, you know, the plan we had for our life, you know, the plan that we had so graciously
planned for God.
Yeah, we had drafted it up. We just needed him to sign off on it. Yeah. Very quickly, we realized that this was not the plan. This is not what our lives were going to look like. And Martin, you know, we have a wonderful life, four fantastic kids, but Martin still lives with a disability. He lives with a vision deficit and a memory deficit. And it's a challenge to us just in daily living. He faces a lot of challenges, and it's been a challenge also with our faith, is trying to understand how a good and a God who loves us and has a good plan for our lives, how why he would allow such hardship, and why he wouldn't answer our prayers necessarily the way, you know, we've been praying for complete healing for Martin for 13 years now and have not seen that yet. We still believe God's capable of it, but we're learning what it looks like to trust his timing, to trust his plan above our own. And just because he's not working the way that we think that he should, it doesn't mean that he's not at work in ways that are best for us and that bring him the most glory.
Did you ever go through a time that you struggled with that?
Oh,
with,
every...
With what God was doing? Like, God, what
You're
are you...
You're saying that in the past tense? Is that... Oh, man, we're always struggling with that on some level. Mm-hmm. And one of the neat things about the scriptures is that they actually give space for that. Like, I love the Psalms because it reminds us that as believers, we don't have to always have this tidy, put-together faith. You see a guy like David, one of my favorite psalms is Psalm 13, where he says, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long are you going to hide from me?" And I was so comforted to see that not just that David said that as a man after God's own heart, but that God included it. Like, as however that worked with him compiling, you know, this God-breathed scripture together, that he includes a guy who shows doubt, that is honest about feeling forsaken. But what I love about David is he ends with this volitional decision that I will trust in your loving kindness, my heart will rejoice in your salvation, because, and I will sing to you because you've dealt bountifully with me. Mm-hmm. And he's saying that I've looked back on your track record of faithfulness in my life. And even though I don't understand what you're doing right now, I believe that you're a good God, and I'm going to continue to praise you.
And think about this. That's not just a song David wrote out of his own personal experience, but it's in the hymn book of Israel.
Oh, yeah.
So they say, everybody, get out your hymn book and let's all sing
about Psalm David's 13. Bad day.
Yeah, oh, yeah. which is our bad day, which is what
absolutely.
All of us have gone through. And the invitation God gives us to lament is part of God acknowledging, I know you're frail, I know you're feeble, mm-hmm. and in the process of being honest about what you're going through, you're going to find strength and even joy. You've been able to find joy in your circumstances, even when it's been hard.
Yeah, Laura, I mean, as I watch and get to know you a little bit, I don't know you as long as Bob, but that's what I see. Not just what you just described, which is great, a faithfulness through the hard times. You've got like this giddy, indescribable, uncontainable joy. Yeah. Seriously.
We talked about it actually on the way on our drive in about that with you.
Is that, I mean, it isn't just remain faithful through, because we've all seen that, but I've...
And it's not faith.
Where's this joy come from?
Well, you know, I mentioned that even though God's not fixing the thing that I think he should, the way that I think he should, I have two options. I can just be frustrated about that the rest of my life because he's not doing it my way, because he's not doing it the way that I envisioned, because he's not meeting my expectations. Because really, that's what a lot of our, you know, resentment and our lack of contentment is based on. Or I can look and see that he truly is at work. I mean, we have four, I was about to say three. We have three amazing kids, and then the other one. I'm just kidding.
We all understand that, too.
We know what you mean.
But we have these four amazing kids. We have a great church. We have great family who has walked with us through all of this. And in a lot of ways, we've seen God's kindness and mercy to us in ways that we never would have had we not walked through this kind of trial. And so there, you know, do I wake up every morning like doing cartwheels over how my life's turned out? No, but for the most part, I do have a lot of joy. God has blessed our family so richly. And I also, not to sound cheesy, but our joy, it has to be based on the person of Jesus. If our joy is contingent on our circumstances, then our life is just going to be...
We're all doomed.
Yeah. It's just going to be like a wave where we're happy one day, we're sad the next, you know. And I see people that live that way as believers, and I just want to remind them, pointing them back to the songs, if we put our faith in God, because that's what's stable. Our circumstances will never be stable, and that's actually a good thing, because it's God stripping those things away so that he can show us the faulty foundations that we have in our lives.
Your plan that you mapped out,
yes,
was a plan that included wife and stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
Not primary breadwinner for the family.
I'm laughing now because I pulled up this morning to your studio with all of my kids in tow in this big old van, and it's this
She is kind of a stay-at-home mom. They just stay with her wherever she goes.
Home is everywhere.
Her home has wheels.
Yeah, the way that we do life is so different than what I imagine. I mean, because the stay-at-home mom thing, that's how I was raised. And I had a wonderful childhood and upbringing. I just couldn't picture it anything different than that, man. So we travel with the kids, and Martin's with us a lot of the time, but it's always the kids with me, and it's such an adventure, and I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, I say I wouldn't trade it for anything. I did. So we're still getting the potty training thing, like the overnight potty training thing. So we're, you know, traveling from hotel to hotel, and quite often, like this morning, I wake up in a nice warm bed, but not in the way that you would want to. So yeah, that's...
Do you leave a note for the maid? Say, sorry.
It wasn't me?
Yeah, people think about us, recording artists, our lives are so glamorous. I wake up and pee. That's glamour right here.
It is.
You can edit all of this out.
Or not. When you're with the kids, is Martin able to take care of himself?
So he has gotten so well at managing his medication. For a while, he was with me 24/7. And we love each other, but that is still a lot of time to be with each other. And
you need to write a song about that.
I do a ton of women's events, so probably 7 years into him coming to more women's events than any man should ever have to endure.
That would be one.
Yeah, I remember.
Am I right?
Oh, you guys don't know what you're missing.
I know. I think he realized that all of his buddies were like at home watching football on Saturdays. He had this epiphany once and thought, hey, I think I might start staying. No. But in all honesty, so we're 13 years out. The first, I don't know, 5 years, because of his health complications, it really was him learning to, because of his memory deficit, learning to do all of his medications himself, literally just to keep himself alive. His rehab was just so much, took so much longer than what we expected. And then... So the past probably 5 years, he has been getting back into working a job, and that's been a challenge. And about 6 months ago, he started a job that he loves, and he's working at our church coffee shop. And it's hard for me to even talk about it without crying, because I love my church so much. And it's so neat to see that after 12 years of praying for Martin to be able, because, you know, as a man, he wants to work, he wants to contribute to the household income and all of that, and seeing him set that aside for it, you know, really surrender that, and then to see the Lord kind of bless him with it in God's timing.
Were there days or years you thought, I'll never see this day?
Oh, absolutely. We didn't know whether he'd be able to. It's hard to explain with the memory deficit. It's also a time conception deficit. There's so many different aspects. Basically, what Martin has is a brain injury. And so there's a lot of things that act like learning disabilities. And there's some things that he can try with therapy to develop, and then some things just that aren't there. Like his short-term memory just isn't there. And so it takes him 10 to 20 times, which you can see how even the most basic tasks require some sort of memory and time conception. It's been amazing at this coffee shop. So it's at our church. My oldest, Josie, she was in kindergarten this past year, and so she goes to school there, and she comes through there with her friends and goes, that's my dad.
That's so sweet.
Never. Let's just talk about something else.
Wait. I want to talk about this a bit, too.
Oh, gracious.
So... As you got married, as a
look out, she's gonna dive in.
Oh, as a wife and a woman.
I know this woman.
As a wife and a woman, we have dreams of what our marriage will be like, of how our husband will treat us, and some of those are not, you know, we have expectations. So for you, some women would walk away thinking, I can't do this. Well, tell me about your friendship, your relationship, the struggle that has been, and the joys.
Yes, and there's never been a point where Martin and I have said, like, that we don't want to be married to each other. But there have been times that we've said, this is so hard, we don't know how to do it. Mm. And Man, I don't even know how deep to go here.
But go there. Go deep.
Okay, so about 5 years in, one of the things we realized is that we had been working so hard to keep him alive.
Yeah.
And we got to a place where we were functioning well logistically, but our marriage just was terrible. And we also didn't know how to talk about it, because once you have someone that go through a life-threatening illness and then they're alive, it's like, oh, that's the win. Hmm. And so it felt like, oh, we should just be grateful that he's alive. Hmm. But still, there were so many things that were different about our relationship, and we didn't know how to talk to people about it. And fortunately, at our church, there were a couple of pastors that, specifically a pastor named Bill, and then another woman who was the wife of another pastor named Sherry. And Bill and Sherry, they kind of took that deep dive with us and told us, we are with you for the long haul. Mm. Because when sometimes when your marriage issues and your life issues seem so chronic, you know, Martin's disability, it's long term. And finding people that said, hey, we will walk this journey with you long term. I'll tell you one more thing that's been the biggest revelation for us. If you were to ask Martin and I, what is the biggest problem in your marriage? We would right off the bat, 5 years ago, we would right off the bat told you it is Martin's disability. Mm. But what we've realized that the biggest problem in our marriage is that we're sinners. The biggest problem in our marriage is our sin. Hmm. And that's the same thing. I get to talk to women now that they'd say, oh, the biggest problem in our marriage is that my husband doesn't make enough money, or this child that we're struggling with right now. And the truth is that, you know, with Martin's disability, it was going to either be a means of tension and frustration. And that's sin right there, when I choose to respond in frustration and irritation. Because really what I'm saying is, you're not meeting my expectations.
Yes.
This isn't going the way that I wanted. Or I can choose to see this disability as a means of grace, where He has slowed us down so much because of this disability, and that's a good thing.
And we all have disabilities.
Absolutely. And it's been a means for us showing kindness to each other and patience to each other that I think we probably would not have had that opportunity had we not had the disability in our lives.
I remember on the day I got married, before I walked out, just thinking to myself, what if she changes?
Mm. Yeah.
And I...
What if?
I'm thinking about that, and it's like I heard the Lord say, she's going to.
Yeah.
And so are you. And I'm thinking, well, I'm about to pledge myself to this person, but what if I don't like the one she is 10 years from now?
Mm-hmm.
How do we adjust to that? You know that even deeper than I do, because the Martin you're married to is not the guy you stood at the altar with.
Well, and ultimately, it's not, you know, when you get married to someone, it's not that you trust that person, even though there is that level of trust, but it really is your trust in God.
That's right. And that's where I came back to, the Lord said, she is going to change. And I said, how do I do this? And he was like, by faith.
Yeah.
You trust me, and I'm with you.
Keep your eyes on
and
me.
Yeah, and yet it's so hard to do, because when you're standing there, I just did a wedding last week, and I'm looking at this couple, and I know what they're thinking. Same thing we thought. He's going to fulfill me. She's going to fulfill me.
Yeah.
Even though we know he's going to fulfill us, but it's so hard to not do this. But you're so right. We're sinners. We married a sinner.
Well, the truth is your spouse, Kali, they will probably be the greatest agent of sanctification in your life.
Yes.
I mean, it's like a big old mirror
kids.
Right there to your sin. Yeah. And if they're not, then it's your kids. Man, there's nobody that shows you how selfish you are you know, more than your kids. I'm like, no, this is my time. Get out of here, you know.
Did you think, no, of course you didn't. You couldn't have thought in the midst of dealing with Martin's adversity. I know that songwriters often find their greatest inspiration in the midst of their deepest pain, but you couldn't realize there's a Grammy Award in the midst of this circumstance, right?
Well, it's interesting how, you know, God's timing, because that's something that I've had to learn to, you know, release my timetable and follow his. One of the things that happened to us within 48 hours of Martin being diagnosed with his brain tumor, I was offered a record deal.
Hmm.
which was just...
Really?
Yeah, we had been going along just fine for however long, and I had submitted some songs, and no one seemed to like them, and then all of a sudden this one label called, and it was... So it's this thing that I had been praying for and really hoping for, and then all of a sudden Martin gets this diagnosis. So I immediately had to say to them, you know, thank you, but, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but no, I'm not able to do this. I really need to focus on my husband's health right now. So they came back probably 3 months later, and then 6 months later, and then 9 months later. And finally, about a year later, they came back, and I was kind of irritated. I remember saying to them, we are more broken than we've ever been. And I, you know, and I'm also this worship leader at my church, and we're walking through such a hard time, and it was really tough getting up there and singing the, you know, How Great Is Our God songs when my life was falling apart. But I remember my wonderful record label saying, Laura, those are the songs we want you to write. We want you to write songs not about how to worship God and praise Him when everything's going well, but how do you keep worshiping Him and following Him and pledging your life to Him when it's falling apart? And I think that was, it was kind of an epiphany to me, and I thought, well, look, I'll try it.
give that a whirl.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, I'll give it a whirl. And it was amazing not just to see that it was part of my, you know, processing what we were walking through was writing songs. But the more people that would hear those songs, they'd say, yeah, that's where we are. Mm-hmm. And I started to realize that so many people are living in that...
pain.
Yeah, and in the midst of the trial rather than on that other side. And maybe even that faith, that's actually where faith happens. Mm. That's where praise needs to happen, not on the other side when we see... this wonderful ending. I think I grew up thinking of giving testimony to God as like a Christian Saved by the Bell episode where like, there's this problem and then God intervenes and everything's great now and at the end we can sing some fun song for the finale, you know. And
in 30 minutes.
Yes, yeah. And all of it resolves in 30 minutes. And I think that's kind of what I thought about worship. That's what I thought about praise. And that's what I thought about giving testimony to God's goodness. But the truth is no, it happens in the midst of it. It's in the midst of that trial. And if my faith requires the tidy bow or requires that ending, then I'm not quite sure if that's faith. Faith is praising Him when we don't see the ending, when we don't understand what He's up to.
And obviously your song that Bob's referring to reminds all of us, as soon as we hear that chorus, we're like, yeah, you're right.
So you guys want to hear the song Blessings from Laura Story?
Pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, and we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We
we pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to What if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life all your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, when darkness seems to win, we know the pain reminds this heart that this is not healing comes to tears. And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if my greatest disappointments or the achings of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise?
How often do you find yourself reminding yourself of that?
Again, God, he knew what I needed to sing over and over again. Mm. And there are still nights that I sing that song and I have to ask for grace from the audience because I just sit there and weep. Mm-hmm. It's a work that God is still doing in my life, very much so.
I remember the first time I heard that song, I was driving on M59. And I remember turning it up as I started really listening to the words and just weeping the whole time, just thinking every single person relates to this song because you're in the midst of it.
Yeah.
But we still look to the Father. Yeah. And music does something. It heals our soul. It releases our soul. It helps put our eyes on him. So thank you for writing that for all of us when you were in the midst of the pain and not on the other side of it.
Well, and I think, as hard as it was to share a song that was so intimate, it was like it came straight out of my diary onto the radio, which is kind of an awkward thing. But as hard as it was to put it out there and share it, part of our healing has been seeing other people's response to it. Because I still get so many emails and so many messages and people coming up to me at events telling me about how God used that song. And every time it reminds me of God's goodness. I don't think people always think about it that way. I think they think about, I wrote this song that really ministered to them in their hard time. But when they respond to me, they're constantly reminding me of God's goodness And it challenges me to continue to remember that in my own life.
Well, we've been listening to a portion of a conversation we had with singer-songwriter Laura Story with our staff, listening in on that conversation. And there is something about biblical truth expressed in music that I think takes us to a different place and helps us think differently about God's Word.
I think you're exactly right, Bob. It goes down to the very soul. And it brings out emotion, healing. It really goes to the very center of our being.
It's almost like there's a string, almost like a guitar string between our brain and our heart. I'm sort of kidding, but it's like music connects those. Mm-hmm. You know, I've often thought as a pastor and a preacher that you can preach a message and there's the power of the word, which is powerful.
Right.
But then when you add music, it seems to go deeper.
Yeah.
And man, being with Laura was such a, I mean, I know that's the name of her song. I was going to say blessing, you know, but it was because she was so real and authentic. But then when she sang, it's like you get a view into her soul and it connected into our soul.
Well, we're going to hear part two of our conversation with Laura tomorrow. But I want to encourage our listeners to get a copy of the book that she's written called I Give Up, The Secret Joy of a Surrendered Life. And Laura talks very candidly in this book, just as she did in the interview, about the challenges that she and her husband Martin have faced, his brain tumor, infertility, a child born with special needs, and recognizing that control is an illusion. We've got to surrender to God, who has a plan for what's going on in our lives. Again, the title of the book is I Give Up, The Secret Joy of a Surrendered Life. You can go online at familylifetoday.com to order a copy of the book, or you can call 1-800-FL-TODAY. Again, our website, familylifetoday.com, or call 1-800-358-6329. That's 1-800-F as in family, L as in life, and then the word today. Now, we want to say a quick thank you to those of you who have sent us Christmas cards this year. Always nice to get Christmas cards from Family Life Today listeners. And some of you have included an encouraging note about how God has used this program in your life. So thank you for your Christmas cards. And thanks to those of you who have heard about our year-end need and have responded already this month, standing behind us financially as you make a year-end gift. Your donation has been matched dollar for dollar because of the money that's available in the matching gift fund that we've talked about this month. That gift fund, by the way, was increased last week. It's up now to $2.7 million, and we're hoping we can take full advantage of that matching gift between now and the end of December. If you have not yet made a year-end donation, maybe you've been thinking about it and just haven't done it yet, make today the day. Call us or go online at familylifetoday.com. Not only will your donation be matched dollar for dollar, but we'll send you a couple of thank you gifts. We'll send you a copy of my book, Love Like You Mean It. And we'll send you a flash drive that includes more than 100 of the best Family Life Today programs from the last 28 years. Programs on marriage and parenting, programs featuring Dennis and Barbara Rainey, David Ann Wilson, guests we've had on through the years, timeless content from Family Life Today. And it's our thank you gift to you when you make a year-end donation. Again, donate online at familylifetoday.com or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to make a year-end donation. And we hope you can join us again tomorrow when we're going to talk more with Laura Story about some of the challenges she and her husband have faced over the years and how they've had to trust God's goodness, His kindness, His sovereignty in the midst of dark days. Hope you can tune in for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.